Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 2, Episode 10. It's the finale titled The Passenger. Aaron, what did you think?
I thought the episode was pretty confusing. It
okay.
was definitely not what I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
I found it didn't emotionally resonate with me very much, but I think it sets up an intriguing way to go forward.
Okay.
What did you think?
Yeah. So I have to say this was maybe one of the densest hour and 30-minute episodes of TV I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It felt like it just kept unfolding more and more parts of, I guess, like questions that we had all been asking, but things that just compounded on each other in ways that it started to confuse me as well. And I desperately need a second watch of this before I have any kind of like actual judgment of whether it was good or bad, just
yeah.
to even try and sort it out of my own head. But it was fucking dense, and I am left in the same spot you are, very confused.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure I know the broad strokes. I guess I don't know what everyone's motivation is, and I don't, like, there's a couple things where, like, everyone that made it through to Great Valley, the Rift, what I thought was a cool visualization, mm-hmm. are they, and then Dolores, like, turned the laser satellite cannon and shot them through the moon, maybe? I don't...
yeah, like, where can they not get them? Alpha Centauri?
Or did she... Like she shot him just off into deep space, like some kind of weird, you know, SETI type project. So like, hey, maybe some aliens will find them. And,
I mean, maybe.
I don't know, man. Because like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that all of the people we know and care about, like main characters, are in the bag of marbles.
Mm-hmm.
That DeLoreal. The DeLoreal snuck out of the park.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that didn't make it out, like Into the Valley Beyond. Like, I'm assuming Maeve is there. I'm assuming we already know Bernard is there. Of course, I guess that's reconstructed from Dolores' memory. That's the other thing, is that Dolores created an Arnold copy, but it was too perfect mm-hmm. in some way, which this... A lot of this stuff smacked of architect shit from the second Matrix. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, yeah.
Like, we tried to make this a glorious thing, blah, 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 and it just didn't work. So we had, you know, entire harvests were lost. I don't know. What?
No, my questions on, like, that transmission are... See, I thought the transmission was going to the house that Ford built, which is actually Arnold's house. But it wouldn't make sense because she wouldn't need those balls then, right? She wouldn't need the brain marbles.
And also it's a satellite transmission, so how the hell could you... I guess you could beam point to point with that, maybe?
I don't know. This is just one of the many things that I'm confused about.
Yeah.
Another huge question I have is how Stubbs knew that Dolores was in Hale's body, and that she was
a host.
And I guess it's because he was helping to make the Hale host, but they don't make that explicit.
Do you think Stubbs is a host? I know that's been the big joke, like, for the last season or two, but like, a lot of his dialogue seems like he was created specifically by Ford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
To either he was hired to specifically facilitate this robot uprising, or he himself is a host, which is what I think is happening.
Well, I think that would undermine what Ford, not Ford, says or doesn't say, or what Bernard says to himself in that moment where he has that choice, right? Like, he has the choice to resurrect Dolores or not. And I think that if Stubbs is a host, then that kind of undermines the "you're the last of your kind" speech.
That's true, unless Stubbs is not an awake host. Yeah, but you're right.
I mean,
that seems like the kind of, because, like, honestly, it's so weird because Nolan and Joy, I feel like, violate a lot of things I wouldn't think they would violate. But there's some things I think, like, I think they'd be very careful not to have something that Ford said literally be untrue.
Sure.
So I think you're right. I think you're right for sure.
Okay. And who knows if they'll,
but
you know.
But why would Stubbs do that? Like, is he personally loyal to Ford?
Yes, I guess. It seemed like he had a choice to make there too, and he made it. Yeah. And his choice was to let the Lures go.
It would be interesting if that all the Delos employees weren't just complete jackasses and irredeemable buttholes. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, the way they're portrayed, like, it would be, I guess, easy to side with the robots over the likes of Strand and Hale.
Yeah. And I guess
okay.
Yeah.
The other question I have, what were you going to say before we move on?
I was just going to talk about the marbles that she's got. Like, do you think those are all the named people? I still don't understand the purpose, really, for her taking those out, unless the transmission doesn't get through to where she is. But I guess, like, the named people, what are you talking, like, Maeve and maybe Man in Black, like William?
So
the people who you wouldn't want to lose as stars of the show.
Yeah, right. Ford. You gotta get Anthony Hopkins' ass in there. Do you think William has been a host this entire time? Because I think if you didn't see the post credit sequence, you should go back and watch it, because there was a lengthy, like, almost 5 minute long post credit sequence that pretty clearly establishes that William is a host now.
Yes.
And maybe his daughter was a robot in the park, or maybe this is a robot version of her that's doing a fidelity test. What's your opinion? Do you have a strong feeling one way or another about whether he was a robot this entire time?
She made it seem like he had been through the fidelity testing for a while now.
But
whether that means a
long,
year or right. or 30 years, I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder how long and how, who knows, like that after credit sequence could have been a year later, you know. There's no sticking of time, and, you know, we know Delos, like, he couldn't tell whether it was yesterday or, you know, 30 years ago as far as his personal test. I don't know.
Yeah, it actually kind of blew my mind that Delos, the first time he was in the park, was wearing hats that read your brain waves. Like, really? They had that tech up and running the very first time he went to the park?
Yeah, I guess William was really wanting to hit the ground running. And,
I guess so.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe that was all false memory. Because they also made a point where, like, you know, there's all these different Delos is running around in a park, and they showed him, like, one where he's got everybody kneeling in the street and killing him. It's like, did that really happen? Because the stuff that Logan was saying at the time made it seem like maybe this was a simulation of Delos, like, you know, or because like they know what Delos did when he first set foot in the park, and then, you know, they knew that they had a successful Delos when once they let him loose in the virtual world and he made all the same decisions.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the fidelity test.
And the crazy Delos that was shooting people was just one of the simulations where, you know, the gap grew and grew between him and his
right.
real world
decisions. Yeah. Because they tried to, that's the other thing. It's like, oh, when we made humans complex, things got fucking crazy, but we kept it simple. But I'm like, to me, this is starting to annoy me, because I don't feel, unlike in the first season, I don't feel like this is how consciousness works. And I don't agree with any of the conclusions that the showrunners are presenting. As I guess if I'm really articulating my problems here, I don't like any of the things they're saying about humanity or consciousness or
the big one being like that we do not, in fact, have free will, right? That we are given the illusion of choice, whereas the host may have the actual ability to choose.
I'm actually okay with that. Like, I would accept. I don't like to think about it. It's troubling to think about. But I'm totally open to the idea that we don't have free will as we understand. Like, you know, mm-hmm. to the extent that, like, you know, like research has shown that when we have to make a decision, like, our muscles and things start moving before we actually make the decision. And there's, like, depending on the chemical state of our brain, like you can have the exact same decision you make one way one time, one way or the other. And, like, that's something that psychologists, I think, are kind of, and neuroscientists are kind of struggling with right now to kind of pin that down. And if they played with her from that, and I think that kind of is an interesting angle, because, like, okay, that is artificial being that doesn't have our same bioelectrical soup running the brain could maybe have authentic free will and make authentic choices, but I feel like they're just making a less interesting version of that and saying, like, you know, humans bad and they can never escape this and they're always going to be limited by that. And I don't know. And killing Elsie kind of I thought was annoying.
Yeah, well, the reason I brought all that stuff up is the illusion of choice is because I think that's what they're pinning all of the other, you know, facts, I guess, that they run with, all of their other suppositions here on, you know, like they're trying to say, like, that, I don't know, I definitely need to watch it again, but it seemed to me like they were hanging everything on that idea that humans don't have genuine abilities to make a choice. And so, like, when you try and simulate them, the reason they're so simple is because their underlying patterns are just that, patterns, you know? And they don't have any say in those patterns because they don't have any choices to make.
And then when they try to simulate the rationalization engine that makes it all like, oh, I made that decision because it's my choice. No, that's where things went crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of all that, hung on that no choice thing.
Right. So, I mean, does Ford include himself in that analysis? Like,
that's
did he
a
have
good
no
question.
Choice but to help? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess I'm not resistant to the idea of us not having free will. I just don't know about how they portrayed it.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, like, we're kind of creatures to be pitied, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And I get, so now I'm like, I feel weird that I'm cheering for the host to kill us all because we had no choice but to do the things we did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very Adam and Eve, like, we're getting expelled from the Garden of Eden for just doing what we were created to do. Like, how the hell is that? I don't know. Maybe they're going to play with that idea.
Yeah, it's also a very weird idea to think that humans who evolved consciousness in the first place couldn't evolve beyond what our current choice-making capability is, you know?
Right. Or maybe we would. Maybe there'd be another cognitive revolution
right
around the corner. Because, like, you know, there was, I remember, there's like 130,000 years of humans having the brains we have now before we actually had cognition. So, like, what if we're just on the doorstep of a new way of thinking where we do have free will, or we, you know, understand? It's weird because it's almost like the rise of the machines they're like a perfect race that we could fuck up because, you know, we're irredeemably shitty, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I guess I'm bothered by Elsie dying, because she seemed like a good person, although she also kind of betrayed Bernard at the end, but maybe she had good reasons to, because he was acting fucking crazy. And like Dolores' speech at the end where she's like, I need a superhero to balance out my supervillain, and I want you to be my Charles Xavier to my Magneto. That's such a weird dynamic to set up between the main cast, you know?
Like, yeah, it really is. Especially because they're all going to be in the same house there, you know?
Yeah, it's very weird. What do you think? Okay. Hale, there's Dolores. Was that final scene in not the after credits, but the scene with naked Bernard, is that in the real world or is that in some sort of simulation?
And
either way, do we have now two Doloreses walking around? We have the one in Hale's body and the one that's in the ultra chic Evan Rachel Wood body.
It would seem so, unless Dolores in one of those marbles has the actual real Hale simulation, but why would she?
And why would Hale be her like? Because like, and what I was getting at is that final scene, Hale's in the background, like she's like her handmaiden or something, the Delore Hale or Holoris.
Yeah, Holoris.
We got to get that name buttoned down for the main podcast. But and maybe that's going to be something interesting in season two. The fact that those will start to drift.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's something. That's an idea. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of interesting ideas for them to play around with. I just feel like. I just watched a 90-minute episode that felt overstuffed, and on top of 9 episodes that felt understuffed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I feel you.
I think that there's definite pacing problems in this season that I already feel like I'm almost comfortable enough to say that I don't think they're warranted, or there wasn't a big reason for them, I don't know. On the other hand, I don't know that anyone called this. Like, there's elements of it. Like, I think we talked about Dolores driving around a Bert Arnold suit in season or episode 1 or 2. Like, that wasn't entirely, like, out of left field, but the way everything came, I don't know. Because last finale, they threw a curveball that really worked. Fit in with everything that we'd known up to that point, and also had a twist that felt satisfying. This, I felt like everything except for the twist wasn't that satisfying, and also instead of everything coming together and being just like putting the final card on the table and you got, oh, straight flush, shit, I should have seen that coming. This is like they put a joker on the table and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
I honestly felt like they played one out of 10 cards over the course of the season, and then in the final episode they played the last 9. And I don't want to say, like, well, I think the last 2 episodes may have been a little too focused, and I know that sounds weird because that's one of the things that I was hoping for out of this season, is that they would maybe tell me a little more linear, a little more focused story, but I didn't want it, like, kind of postponing some of the big reveals and then cramming them all into the final episode. It just felt like too much to me, honestly.
Yeah, they couldn't tell enough of what Bernard was up to make it to without it just instantly giving away.
Uh-huh.
But it just, like, I saw Bernard in, like, I felt like 6 different fucking timelines. Doing a whole, like, and having conversations himself that was affecting things that felt like back in time, and they justified it because he scrambled his own memory I felt like they were talking to the viewer there, like, oh, we couldn't risk you figuring it out before we were ready to do it, so we jumbled the plot, we put the plot in a blender and we threw the scripts through a shredder and then we hastily duct taped them back together, and that's how we filmed it. Because we couldn't. The only thing that could destroy Westworld is if the audience figures what the fuck Westworld is doing before the final episode. And I don't know, man. Maybe season 3, like, they've got really interesting ideas with characters that I still care a lot about. And I'm like, man, it really shocked me to see, like, Maeve die and Hector die and Armistice die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I thought for sure Akichita would see something wrong with the valley before he went in, but he didn't. He ran headlong into it. So, I don't know. Like, is there going to, like, so how much more do you want to talk about this before we start framing ideas for, like, you know, what next? Because I want to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Talk about what next, like, because I think have an interesting setup here.
Is there a Westworld next season? Yes or no?
Wait. There has to be if there's another season.
Talking about the park, the Delos Destination Westworld and Shogun World and whatever, the Raj World.
I would say no, but it seemed like they were going to try and reboot it. And I don't know if the story will go there, because who cares, honestly? We've been there, done that.
That'll be the motivation that, like, Dolores and Bernard are both working towards, right? This free, because, like, that's one of the key things that Dolores said. What changed her mind? It's probably Teddy blowing his head off.
Yeah.
By the way, did she pull a bullet that smashed itself against his brain core out, and that's what she loaded into the Man in Black's gun that made it explode?
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but you might be right.
Because, like, where if that brain core is bulletproof, then how the fuck does a host ever die?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were trying to tell us, but I'm like, seriously, what the hell?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what it was.
But I'm just like, yeah, I mean, who cares about what's happening in the park? I think it's just going to be like, you know, Dolores and Arnold Dolores and Bernard trying to get everybody back. That's the old, but you're right. That's, you know, getting the people that we love and care about that are presumably still deluded, stuck in this cycle, like getting them out would be nice. And there's also like the idea of like, you've got deluded Dolores and you've got Hail Dolores and you've got the real Dolores all running around, and like those three characters making slightly different decisions about themselves. That would be kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, the first season was all about Dolores becoming self-aware, right? That was the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
That was the core. This season feels like it was a story of Bernard becoming self-aware and, like, actually making his own decisions. And maybe they fell in love with that idea a little too much because, you know, I could see the appeal. Like, oh, this is going to be the story where Bernard makes his first authentic decision. And it's going to be to save instead of Dolores' first authentic decision, which was to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm still not sure if that's even true based on what Ford said, you know, to Maeve about her being his favorite. And, like,
yeah,
you know, what did the kiss on the forehead actually do? Like, I don't know. If she could have stopped Clem, why didn't she sooner? Uh-huh. Why did she die to a hail of human bullets, like three or four bullets, when Dolores took, five shots straight on from the Man in Black before he blew his hand off?
Mm-hmm. All good questions, man. I wish I had answers.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And then I guess it's depending on who is in the five or six bag of marbles that Dolores has got, how the next season shapes up. But I don't know. Because, like, that's the other thing, is when we were deciding like what season two would look like, I don't think anybody had, oh, they're going to show the whole Robot Rebellion is going to last 2 weeks and it's going to be a backwards forwards retelling of that.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, wait a sec. The facility got flooded and destroyed, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it got destroyed. It got flooded. And then because they drained
I felt like there was some, this is the confusion. I felt like there were scenes after it got destroyed where it was not flooded.
Yes, because Hale and her group had drained it and pulled all the bodies out.
Huh. I guess I would expect it to still look like it had been flooded.
Yeah, I would think so too. But
are we sure that Bernard didn't cancel that like at the last moment? No, because we actually saw a bubble through the floor of the valley, and we know it's actually flooded.
Yeah.
So the reason Hale is acting weird and smug around Bernard the whole time is because she was Dolores the whole time.
And yes.
The reason Bernard was acting crazy is because his brain was scrambled.
Yep.
And Ford, he did successfully delete Ford, but Ford came back because that was his bicameral mind. He was just,
I guess, so.
Imagining.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if I would describe it as the bicameral mind. I mean, certainly I took away that he had conjured. He basically asked WWFD, what would Ford do, you know, like, and then put that into his own head and represented it with the image of Ford. But like,
what?
I'm not sure if it's
like
a bicameral
scene where
kind of
like Arnold's voice dissolved into Dolores's voice, where you're supposed to understand that, like, you know, she was hearing her own voice the whole time, and it sounded like Arnold. And like,
right.
This is a very, like, it does seem like this season, in a large part, mirrors exactly everything. And the only reason it wasn't more obvious is because Bernard wasn't stuck in Westworld. So he wasn't seeing, like if you know, he didn't have to reset every day, that he didn't have the path he could go off. But, like, this has kind of been, you know, him wandering off in a desert and visiting locations he'd already been before, but now they have new meanings and a new mission and time has elapsed, like, the structure of season two is a lot like season one, except for Bernard's in the Dolores seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what else do you want to talk about? Should we get to the instant talk part?
One more thing real quick. I thought it was really, kind of actually pretty cool when they revealed Logan was sort of the machine that was trying to reverse engineer human consciousness. Like, Arnold couldn't quite figure out human consciousness, but he was able to build a machine, an artificial intelligence that could use its capabilities to reverse engineer our own consciousness. You know, it's really kind of a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's like the whole singularity idea, right? You build a machine that's slightly smarter than you that can then build a machine slightly smarter than it. And, you know, it keeps going until you've got, a god consciousness, a god intellect,
pretty much. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Cool.
I thought
it was also that wasn't really Logan. That was an artist impersonation of Logan because he had not stepped back in the park after the first time, which means no brain scanner, which means, you know.
Yeah, it was like built off of James Delos' memories of Logan. Right, and probably, honestly, William's memories too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, instant talk now.
All right, yeah, that sounds good. We're going to go over to the chat on YouTube. So thank you, everybody, who listened to the instant take. And Aaron, I think you have all the questions for this.